San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined at right around 8 o'clock this morning by Greg Felton. Greg, of course, hails from Vancouver, British Columbia. He is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. We'll be chatting for a couple of hours about a number of things going on in the Middle East, including what's been happening in Gaza from Greg Felton's perspective. Be sure to tune into that at 8 o'clock this morning. All kinds of things to talk about this AM, including the fact that we have heard nothing from Iowa. Of course, as you may recall, on Friday I had made a formal inquiry with the Iowa Christian Alliance up in Iowa, as well as the Iowa Tax Reform Organization, asking them why Ron Paul had been excluded from their event of June 30th. As of yet, I have heard absolutely nothing from anyone connected with either one of those organizations in Iowa. That's not necessarily surprising, but it's on the record that thus far we have heard nothing by any form of communication whatsoever from the folks in Iowa who have been responsible for keeping Ron Paul out of those debates up there come this June 30th. So we'll keep you informed that as of right now, we not only have had no formal acceptance of an opportunity to come onto this show to explain the situation, but there has not been any indication whatsoever from any of the representatives that we contacted that they are interested in making any sort of a formal official response whatsoever in regard to that entire situation. By the way, I have made Ron Paul's presidential campaign aware of the fact that we have extended a formal invitation to these organizations in Iowa in question to come on this show to discuss the exclusion of Ron Paul from the debates up there, being sponsored by both of these groups. So that was done as a courtesy to the Ron Paul campaign to see what, if anything, they might know about this entire situation. And we have also extended Congressman Ron Paul an opportunity to be on this show in a future juncture. And when I receive a reply on that formally from his communications director, I in turn will be in touch with the listeners in regard to his being on this broadcast. There are so many things that we could talk about this morning, it's a little bit difficult to know where to begin, but one possible place is with Dr. Michael Chosadowski this morning. If you look at globalresearch.ca, you will see his latest essay entitled Bush Directive for a Catastrophic Emergency in America, Building a Justification for Waging War on Iran. This is quite clearly the direction that we've been going in, and Dr. Chosadowski notes this morning in his essay that has just been posted with Global Research as of this morning. He begins his essay by quoting something from the Washington Post on the 23rd of April 2006. That is a statement by a Pentagon official that in fact was leaked to the Post, and it is as follows, quote, another 9/11-type terrorist attack could create both a justification and an opportunity that is lacking today to retaliate against some known targets, unquote. Chosadowski goes on to note that the U.S. media consensus is that the United States faces its greatest threat of a terrorist assault since the September 11th attacks, quote unquote, according to the USA Today of the 12th of February 2006. The American homeland is threatened by, quote, Islamic terrorists, unquote, allegedly supported by Tehran and Damascus. America is under attack by an elusive outside enemy. Concepts are turned upside down, according to Michael Chosadowski. War becomes peace. Offense becomes a legitimate means of self-defense. In the words of President Bush, quote, against this kind of enemy, there's only one effective response. We must go on the offensive, stay on the offensive, and take the fight to them, unquote. That's George W. Bush at the CENTCOM Coalition Conference on May the 1st, 2007. As Chosadowski notes, the intent is to seek a pretext to wage a preemptive war. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton, author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America, will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning. Greg's going to become a regular feature on this show on Mondays, by the way, helping me to analyze events going on around the world, especially in the Middle East. That will be a good complement to what we're already doing on Fridays in this broadcast with Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and also with Father John Martinez. So I'm looking forward to having Greg on the show once more at 8 a.m. We're going to be looking at Gaza, among many other things that are important to our world today. And again, Greg will be with us, hooking up with us from Vancouver, British Columbia, to talk about some of these things. This whole business, then, of excluding Ron Paul from the presidential debates up in Iowa, that is an event on June 30th, that is being jointly sponsored by the Iowa Christian Alliance, and something called Iowans for Tax Relief. As far as I know thus far, Mitt Romney, Tommy Thompson, Sam Brownback, Jim Gilmore, Mike Huckabee, and Tom Tancredo are a part of this event. Ron Paul, however, thus far has been excluded. And as I mentioned before, on Friday we submitted a formal invitation to both the Iowa Christian Alliance and Iowans for Tax Relief to come on this broadcast to discuss specifically why they have excluded Ron Paul from these debates. We have made Ron Paul's official presidential campaign aware of this invitation that we've extended to both of these organizations in Iowa. And as of right now, we have heard absolutely nothing from any of the folks that we sent this to. And we sent the invitation in question to multiple numbers of individuals in administrative positions with both organizations. And again, thus far, have heard absolutely nothing. That was, 72 hours ago that we sent this invite. We'll see if we hear anything in the next couple of days. And if we don't, we will just simply note that. I suspect that we won't, but I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and give them the maximum amount of time possible to contemplate the invitation and to extend to us some degree of explanation as to their actions in that situation up there. We'll see what happens. But, you know, one of the things that's abundantly curious is to look a little bit more deeply at least one of the people that is connected with one of the organizations that has excluded Ron Paul. That's a very, very curious and very, very interesting thing to get into a conversation about that. If you go into a blog that is dedicated to the Ron Paul 2008 presidential campaign, it is not an official Ron Paul website, as I understand it, but nonetheless it has very, very fine information on it. And it indicates this morning and in the last couple of days that Ed Failer Jr., who is with one of the two organizations in question, Mr. Failer represents the Iowans for Tax Relief group. Mr. Failer, it is now alleged, has an official link to one of the other presidential campaigns. It appears that he's a senior advisor on the McCain campaign in Iowa. Talk about a conflict of interest, huh? This is another site, according to Ron Paul 2008, a special blog dedicated to the Ron Paul presidential campaign. This is another site that says he is with the McCain campaign, another URL provided to us this morning, just in case they try to say it's not true. And why not another, which is a press release from McCain's campaign itself? Not only is Ed Failer Jr. an advisor, but he has donated $1,250 to the McCain 2008 campaign on March 31st. This information is contained at this URL, one is provided there. How much more ridiculous will this get? Do they really think they can get away with something this blatantly obvious? After about half an hour of Google searching, according to Ron Paul 2008, it appears that Failer has had a blind eye toward Ron Paul all along. In every single article, they say how all, quote-unquote, the presidential candidates each have their own challenges to overcome with Iowa's religious conservative views. Now, rather than say Ron Paul matches their views, they completely leave out his name in every single article I have read, according to the poster here at Ron Paul 2008. Another aspect that DailyPaul.com has on their site is that Ed Failer is tied to an organization called the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, with a lot of big corporate money at stake. Here are some of the companies involved. Quote, the American Legislative Exchange Council has the financial support of more than 200 corporations, including Coors, Amway, IBM, Ford, Philip Morris, Exxon, Texaco, and Shell Oil. And here are the usual suspects, folks. William Bennett, Jack Kemp, John Sununu, and George Bush have all addressed ALEC sessions in recent years, unquote. Now, as if it can't get any worse, here are more companies that support their mission. Quote, companies and industry organizations supporting ALEC's mission include Enron, Amoco, Chevron, Texaco, R.J. Reynolds, AT&T, the American Nuclear Energy Council, the Chlorine Chemistry Council, the American Petroleum Institute, and the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, unquote. You can read the whole scoop here. I'm reading directly again from this Ron Paul 2008 blog. Just seeing the list of companies this gentleman is dealing with scares me. That's what this blog author has indicated. In regard to Mr. Ed Failer, who is with the one of the two organizations in question that has excluded Ron Paul from the presidential debates, and that organization is Iowans for Tax Relief. And in turn, Mr. Failer is with something called the American Legislative Exchange Council. When you look at some of the folks that are connected with that, you're talking about corporate America, and you're talking about neoconservatives who have direct links to the Israeli lobby and the Israeli government. Are those the fingerprints that enable us to trace what's really behind the exclusion of Ron Paul from these debates up in Iowa? I suggest that that's exactly what's going on here. And again, we have extended an opportunity to Iowans for Tax Relief, as well as the Iowa Christian Alliance, to come on the show to explain their exclusion of Mr. Paul from that gathering up there on June 30th. Thus far, we've heard nothing. I suspect that maybe we won't hear anything. But suffice it to say that we have, I think, gone the extra mile to include these folks in a fair opportunity to justify their situation and to explain themselves effectively. I think their silence thus far is absolutely deafening. We'll see if that changes in the next couple of days. But I've sent out this invitation to a lot of folks around the country, not only news agencies, but many people on the American right who I think are fair-minded people who see this thing thus far for what it appears to be. They, in turn, have assured me that they've distributed the thing all over the country to all of their contacts. And thus far, again, absolutely nothing in the way of a response from Iowans for Tax Relief or the Iowa Christian Alliance. And again, it looks to me, folks, like it's the usual suspects involved in the control of these debates, both in regard to corporate America as well as the Israeli lobby. And when you go back to 1996 and the whole way in which the neocons used Alan Keyes to divert votes away from Pat Buchanan in the Iowa caucus, it would appear that some of these same forces are behind this latest machination as well. Let's go back then to Dr. Michael Chosadovsky and what he said at Global Research this morning. In a piece entitled Bush Directive for a Catastrophic Emergency in America, Building a Justification for Waging War in Iran, question mark. Quite clearly that would seem to be the intent of the Bush administration in regard to what has been transpiring in recent days and in recent months in the interaction between Washington and Tehran. Dr. Chosadovsky goes on to say that a terrorist attack on America, quote unquote, could be used to justify, in the eyes of an increasingly credulous public opinion, on humanitarian grounds, quote unquote, the launching of a major theater war directed against Iran and Syria. Allegedly supported by Iran, the terrorists are said to possess nuclear capabilities. They are supposedly planning to explode, quote unquote, radiological dispersion devices or dirty bombs in densely populated urban areas in the U.S. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell had already forewarned in 2003 that, quote, it would be easy for terrorists to cook up radioactive dirty bombs to explode inside the U.S. How likely it is, I can't say, unquote. There Chosadovsky quotes Powell from the 10th of February, 2003. Chosadovsky goes on to say that the sheer absurdity that al-Qaeda might have advanced capabilities to wage a nuclear attack on America is nonetheless pervasive in U.S. media reports. Moreover, numerous drills and exercises simulating a terrorist attack using nuclear devices have been conducted in recent years, creating the illusion that the threat is real. And then quoting the U.S. Congress, the House Financial Services Committee on June the 21st, 2007, quote, what we do know is that our enemies want to inflict massive casualties and that terrorists have the expertise to invent a wide range of attacks, including those involving the use of chemical, biological, radiological, and even nuclear weapons. Exploding a small nuclear weapon in a major city could do incalculable harm to hundreds of thousands of people, as well as to businesses and the economy, unquote. We'll be back with this piece by Dr. Michael Chosadovsky. It is today entitled The Bush Directive for a Catastrophic Emergency in America, Building a Justification for Waging War in Iran. We'll go further in the text of this when Mark Dantos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will join us at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We're back. This is Mark Hamm, live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Right around 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time, we will be joined by Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. Greg's been on the show before, but he's going to be with me on Mondays on pretty much a regular basis, talking about events Middle Eastern and events Israeli, and what it means for you and me in the days ahead. Folks, all kinds of things are going on, and I suspect that a year from now, our lives will look very different from the way that they look now, and the world will look very different from the way that it looks now. And as a part of that whole thing, it would appear that this Middle Eastern thing may well be the pretext for the development of a whole new era when it comes to an American domestic police state, when it comes to an American military involvement abroad, in the interest of a series of constituencies that have nothing to do with the national security of this country, and when it comes to a much wider conflict that will involve thousands upon thousands of additional people. That's my belief, in regard to what confronts us and in regard to what will be just around the corner in the next year or two. Let's hope that that's wrong. But if I'm not reading this correctly, neither are some very other fine people who are far more intelligent and far more informed than I am. So let's see what happens in the next 12 months as it relates to Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney, and as it relates to the so-called war on terror. And before we get back into Dr. Michael Chosudovsky's article, I wanted to mention, and we'll mention it again a couple of additional times on the show today, that if you happen to be a German Lutheran, there's a very fine publication out of Fredericksburg, Texas, that you need to be aware of. It's called Parish Notes. And a very fine guy by the name of Jim Lowe is the editor of Parish Notes. You can get a subscription to this at 707 North Bowie Street in Fredericksburg, Texas, 78624. Jim Bowie is a part of St. Luke's Lutheran Church up in Fredericksburg. And Parish Notes covers German Lutheran concerns, the arts, religion in general, books, history, local and global news, and opinion. And editor J.D. Lowe, or Jim Lowe, has put together something that covers, among other things, the USS Liberty tragedy and Ron Paul. He talks about Jerry Falwell and Christian Zionism in this latest edition. There are all kinds of good things that relate to church history and the fact that, among other things, today, by the way, is the 477th anniversary of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession to Charles V. That's a very significant day in the history of the church, regardless of what you think of what happened on June the 25th in 1530. The presentation of the Augsburg Confession, and of course Parish Notes makes reference to that event in the edition that I happen to be taking a look at here this morning. But suffice it to say that Jim Lowe has done a lot of really good things with this newspaper. And if you would like to see it, contact me and I'll tell you how to contact him. I think that if you like church history and theology, and if you like good political commentary and both local and global news, you can't go wrong with what Jim is doing up there in Fredericksburg, Texas, in the Hill Country. Again, drop me a line, and I'll give you the information on how to contact Jim. Once again, back to Dr. Michael Chosudovsky and what he describes as Bush's directive for a catastrophic emergency in America. Is it building a justification for waging war on Iran? The people at globalresearch.ca have been dogging this story for quite some time. It's very much apparent that this is precisely what's happening. Chosudovsky goes on, by the way, in a section entitled History, to discuss some of the key quotations that we have seen out of Bush's people since 9/11. There's a quote from Ridge, from Rumsfeld, another one from Ridge, one from Cheney, a couple from George Bush, another one from Cheney, that all emphasize and accentuate the same theme. After those quotations, Dr. Chosudovsky goes on to remind us that in the immediate wake of the invasion of Iraq, various national security procedures were put in place which focused on the eventuality of a second 9/11. These initiatives in the area of homeland security outlined the precise circumstances under which martial law could be declared in the case of a second major terrorist attack on America. Under martial law, the military would take over several functions of civilian government, including justice and law enforcement. A terrorist attack on American soil of the size and nature of September the 11th would lead, according to former CENTCOM Commander General Tommy Franks, to the downfall of democracy in America. In an interview in December of 2003, which was barely mentioned in the U.S. media, General Franks outlined a scenario which would result in a suspension of the Constitution and the installation of military rule in America. Quote, a terrorist massive casualty-producing event will occur somewhere in the Western world. It may be in the United States of America. That causes our population to question our own Constitution and to begin to militarize our country in order to avoid a repeat of another mass casualty-producing event, unquote. This is General Tommy Franks in December of 2003 in an interview with Cigar Aficionado. Franks was obliquely alluding to a second 9/11 terrorist attack, which could be used to galvanize U.S. public opinion in support of a military government and a police state. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Greg Felton joins us at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Greg is the author of the new effort from Dandelion Books entitled The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And he's going to be a regular on this show on Mondays, to the extent that his schedule permits. And we're going to be discussing, among many other things, the whole issue of Gaza this morning, looking at Greg's perspective on what's been going on in that situation that you and I are not hearing about when it comes to American corporate media for all of the obvious reasons. Getting back then to what Dr. Michael Chosadowski has talked about this morning in regard to a Bush directive for a catastrophic emergency in America, building a justification for waging war on Iran. Dr. Chosadowski takes us back to General Tommy Franks and some comments that the general made in December of 2003, approximately 3.5 years ago, to a publication entitled Cigar Aficionado. And in that regard, Dr. Chasadosky underscores the fact that Franks was clearly alluding to a second 9/11 terrorist attack, which could then be used to galvanize U.S. public opinion in support of a military government and a police state. This so-called terrorist massive casualty producing event, quote-unquote, was presented by General Franks as a crucial political turning point. The resulting crisis and social turmoil resulting from the civilian casualties are intended to facilitate a major shift in U.S. political, social, and institutional structures, leading to the suspension of constitutional government. It is important, Dr. Chasadosky underscores, that we understand that General Franks was not giving a personal opinion on the role of a, quote, massive casualty-producing event, unquote, in national security doctrine. His statement very much reflects the dominant viewpoint both in the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland Security, both on the concept of massive casualty-producing event, as well as how events might unfold in the case of a so-called catastrophic emergency. The statement comes from a man who has been actively involved in military and intelligence planning at the highest levels. In other words, the so-called militarization of our country, quote-unquote, is, according to Michael Chasadosky, an ongoing operational assumption. It is part of the broader Washington consensus, quote-unquote. It identifies the Bush administration's roadmap of war and homeland defense. The global war on terrorism, which constitutes the cornerstone of Bush's national security doctrine, provides the required justification for repealing the rule of law, ultimately with a view to, quote, preserving civil liberties, quote unquote. U.S. Northern Command, then. The administration's catastrophic emergency procedures are intimately related to military planning at the level of the Pentagon. In this regard, the formation of U.S. Northern Command, or NORTHCOM, in April of 2002, based at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, constitutes an important landmark in the evolving relationship between the military and homeland security. U.S. Northern Command was created as a new command structure with the explicit mandate to defend the homeland against foreign terrorists. This mandate is defined in the Pentagon's, quote, Joint Doctrine for Homeland Security, or JP-26. Even in the case where the outside enemy is fabricated, and this is known at the highest levels of the military intelligence apparatus, a military coup d'etat characterized by detailed command, military, and security provisions would become operational almost immediately. According to Dr. Chasadosky, NORTHCOM's command mission, quote-unquote, encompasses a number of non-military functions, including, quote, crisis management, unquote, and, quote, domestic civil support, unquote. Under NORTHCOM jurisdiction, the latter imply a process of, quote, military support to federal, state, and local authorities in the event of a terror attack, unquote. NORTHCOM has a mandate to, quote, defend the homeland, unquote, against an elusive outside enemy, Al-Qaeda, which is said to be threatening the security of America. According to Frank Morales, quote, the scenario of a military takeover of America is unfolding, unquote. And Northern Command is the core military entity in this takeover and militarization of civilian institutions. Then Dr. Chasadosky goes into a discussion of Dick Cheney's contingency plan. Chasadosky indicates that following the creation of NORTHCOM in 2002, defense of the homeland functions, including domestic counterterrorism and national emergency procedures, have become increasingly integrated into the broader process of military planning by the Pentagon. This integration should be understood as part of the Pentagon's preemptive war doctrine, where a presumed or planned attack on the homeland by Islamic terrorists, quote-unquote, becomes a justification for waging an offensive war in the Middle East, being defined as defensive. The September the 11th terrorist attacks were used to wage war on Afghanistan using the pretext, without a shred of evidence, that the Afghan Taliban government was a state sponsor of the 9/11 attacks. In August of 2005, Vice President Dick Cheney is reported to have instructed U.S. STRATCOM, based at the Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, to draw up a contingency plan, quote-unquote, to be employed in response to another 9/11 type terrorist attack on the United States. This is according to Philip Giraldi. Attack on Iran, preemptive nuclear war, the American Conservative, 2nd of August 2005. Dick Cheney's contingency plan was predicated, according to Dr. Chasadovsky, on the preemptive war doctrine. Implied in the contingency plan was the presumption that Iran would be behind the attacks. The vice president's instructions were given to U.S. STRATCOM, which is in charge of the central planning and coordination of major overseas theater wars, rather than to NORTHCOM, whose mandate consists in defending the North American homeland against terrorist attacks. Cheney's contingency plan under U.S. STRATCOM jurisdiction would draw on the possibility of a second 9/11 attack to prepare for a major military operation directed against Iran, while pressure would also be exerted in the corridors of the United Nations on Tehran in relation to its non-existent nuclear weapons program. What is diabolical in this 2005 decision, according to Michael Chasadovsky, this decision by the U.S. President Dick Cheney, is that the justification to wage war on Iran rests on Iran's alleged involvement in a hypothetical terrorist attack on America, which has not yet occurred. The plan to attack Iran is based on the principle of self-defense. Again, quoting Philip Giraldi, it includes a large-scale air assault on Iran, employing both conventional and tactical nuclear weapons. Giraldi says in the American Conservative of the 2nd of August 2005 that several senior Air Force officers involved in the planning are reportedly appalled at the implications of what they are doing, that Iran is being set up for an unprovoked nuclear attack, but no one is prepared to damage his career by posing any objections, unquote. Chasadovsky goes on to say that in early 2006, former Secretary Dom Rumsfeld approved a far-reaching military campaign plan to fight terrorism around the world with a view to retaliating in the case of a second major terrorist attack on America. This Pentagon plan was, in essence, an extension of the second 9/11 contingency plan agenda announced by Dick Cheney in 2005. The Pentagon's anti-terrorist plan was outlined in three secret documents, of which excerpts were leaked to the Washington Post. These three documents consist of an overall campaign plan plus two subordinate plans. The second subordinate plan explicitly focuses on the possibility of a second 9/11 and how a second major attack on American soil might provide an opportunity, quote-unquote, to extend the U.S.-led war in the Middle East into new frontiers. Again, quoting the Washington Post of the 23rd of April, 2006, quote, it sets out how the military can both disrupt and respond to another major terrorist strike on the United States. It includes lengthy annexes that offer a menu of options for the military to retaliate quickly against specific terrorist groups, individuals, or state sponsors, depending on who is believed to be behind an attack. Another attack, Chasadovsky has bolded this portion of the Washington Post story, another attack could create both a justification and an opportunity that is lacking today to retaliate against some known targets, according to current and former defense officials familiar with the plan, unquote. Chasadovsky says that the presumption of this military document is that a second 9/11 attack, which is lacking today, quote unquote, would usefully create both a, quote, justification and an opportunity, unquote, to wage war on some known targets, quote unquote, read Iran and Syria. Dr. Chasadovsky then gets into a section that we have discussed before on this show, National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 51 and 20. In May of 2007, a major presidential national security directive is issued, entitled the National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as the Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. NSPD 51/HSPD 20 is a combined national security directive emanating from the White House and Homeland Security. It is tailor-made to fit the premises of both the Pentagon's 2006 anti-terrorist plan as well as Vice President Cheney's 2005 contingency plan. The directive establishes procedures for, quote, continuity of government, unquote, in the case of a catastrophic emergency. The latter is defined in NSPD 51/HSPD 20, henceforth referred to as NSPD 51, as, quote, any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption, severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government functions, unquote. Continuity of government, or COG, is defined in NSPD 51 as a, quote, coordinated effort within the federal government's executive branch to ensure that national essential functions continue to be performed during a catastrophic emergency, unquote. NSPD 51 has barely been reported by the mainstream media. There was no press briefing by the White House or by Director of Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, which would be the normal practice given the significance and implications of NSPD 51. The text of NSPD 51 announced by the White House is not even mentioned on the Department of Homeland Security's website. This combined directive, NSPD 51/HSPD 20, grants unprecedented powers to the presidency and the Department of Homeland Security, overriding the foundations of constitutional government. NSPD 51 allows the sitting president to declare a national emergency without congressional approval. The adoption of NSPD 51 would lead to the de facto closing down of the legislature and the militarization of justice and law enforcement. Quoting from this directive, Chasarovsky says that the president shall lead the activities of the federal government for ensuring constitutional government. Isn't that rather Orwellian, folks? Listen to this. The president shall lead the activities of the federal government for ensuring constitutional government. In order to advise and assist the president in that function, the assistant to the president for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism is hereby designated as the National Continuity Coordinator. The National Continuity Coordinator, in coordination with the assistant to the president for national security affairs, without exercising directive authority, shall coordinate the development and implementation of continuity policy for executive departments and agencies. The Continuity Policy Coordination Committee, chaired by a senior director from the Homeland Security Council staff, designated by the National Security Coordinator, shall be the main day-to-day forum for such policy coordination. NSPD 51, Chasarovsky says, grants extraordinary police state powers to the White House and Homeland Security in the event of a catastrophic emergency. The assistant to the president for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, who is slated to play a key role in the eventuality of martial law, is a key White House advisor, Francis Fragos Townsend. And while NSPD 51 has the appearances of a domestic national security decision, it is nonetheless, according to Michael Chasarovsky, an integral part of U.S. foreign policy. It belongs to a longstanding military national security agenda. Were NSPD 51 to be invoked, Vice President Dick Cheney, who constitutes the real power behind the executive, would essentially assume de facto dictatorial powers, circumventing both the U.S. Congress and the judiciary, while continuing to use President George W. Bush as a proxy figurehead. NSPD 51, while bypassing the Constitution, nonetheless envisages very precise procedures which guarantee the powers of the Vice President. Listen to these quotes from NSPD 51. Quote, this directive shall be implemented in a manner that is consistent with and facilitates effective implementation of provisions of the Constitution concerning succession to the presidency or the exercise of its powers and the Presidential Succession Act of 1947 with consultation of the Vice President and, as appropriate, others involved. Heads of executive departments and agencies shall ensure that appropriate support is available to the Vice President and others involved as necessary to be prepared at all times to implement those provisions, unquote. In the case of a catastrophic emergency, Chasarovsky says that NSPD 51 could potentially be used to justify the implementation of retaliatory military action against Iran in accordance with Dick Cheney's 2005 contingency plan. If the catastrophic emergency were to be triggered by a terrorist attack, NSPD 51 could be invoked as the, quote, justification and opportunity to retaliate against some known targets, unquote, as outlined by the Pentagon in its 2006 anti-terrorist plan. The broader question is whether the occurrence of this catastrophic emergency is actually being planned by the Pentagon with a view to justifying an attack on Iran. NSPD 51 would instate martial law under the authority of the White House and the DHS. It would suspend constitutional government under the provisions of continuity in government, or COG. The provisions of NSPD 51, according to Michael Chosadovsky, are consistent with an existing body of legislation and regulations pertaining to alleged terrorist attacks on the homeland and the declaration of martial law. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton, author of The Host and the Parasite, will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time, from Canada. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
It ain't no joke, I like to fight.
We're back. This is Mark Andros, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Greg Felton will join us at right around 8 o'clock this morning to discuss a number of things related to the Middle East and the Israeli lobby and Gaza. Greg, of course, is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. That is a Dandelion Books publication. We have been talking in the first hour this morning about a couple of news stories. One, I have yet to hear anything from any representative of the Iowa Christian Alliance or Iowans for Tax Relief in regard to why they have excluded Ron Paul from the presidential debates up there that they, those two organizations are sponsoring on the 30th of this month. I have written formally a number of representatives of both of those organizations asking them to come on the show to discuss the context of what Thomas Woods has indicated at lewrockwell.com is a deliberate exclusion of Paul from those debates. Why? I think we may know why. A Mr. Ed Failer, who is, of course, connected with the Iowans for Tax Relief organization, he's like the executive director of that latter group. Mr. Failer has some very interesting connections to John McCain and to the American Legislative Exchange Council, which in turn seems to have a series of connections to neoconservatives with ties to Israel and also to American global corporations and to folks like Bill Bennett and Jack Kemp. That may have something to do with why Ron Paul has been excluded from those debates. But again, we have issued a formal invitation to both Iowans for Tax Relief and to Mr. Failer, and we've also issued one to the Iowa Christian Alliance to come on this broadcast to explain this entire situation. I have yet to hear anything. I suspect that we won't hear anything from any of the representatives of those groups, but my invitation to them and to the specific people connected with those groups is a matter of public record. It's been distributed to a lot of folks with news agencies. I've given a copy of it to the communications director of the Ron Paul for President campaign up in Virginia. I've also given my original missive to the individuals and organizations in question to a series of people on the American right so that all of this thing is on the record. And if the Iowa Christian Alliance and Iowans for Tax Relief fail to respond formally to this invitation, that too will be duly noted as a matter of public record. Getting back then into this whole thing with Michael Chasadosky this morning, and which you can see at globalresearch.ca, he has a frightening summary of what we have been talking about on this show for quite a number of days now, that a Bush directive for a catastrophic emergency in America utilizing National Security Presidential Directive 51, also known as Homeland Security Directive 20, that if you look at these folks, it would appear that all of this is designed to create a justification for waging a war on Iran. And in the context of this article, I think it's very important to see that as we go through and look at all of the things that have been happening in this regard, all of what is said in NSPD 51 seems to mirror the March 2002 Homeland Security Presidential Directive Number 3, which has a provision in it called Code Red Alert. Code Red Alert. That situation already provided much of the justification for what National Security Presidential Directive 51 now wants to do in a clearer way, a more definitive way. But suffice it to say that going all the way back to March of 2002 with so-called Homeland Security Presidential Directive 3, Tom Ridge, the former Homeland Security Secretary, said on the 22nd of December 2003, quote, "If we go code red, it basically shuts down the country," unquote. Quite clear that when we look at that in conjunction with National Security Presidential